Welcome to A-Level Biology Unlocked, the podcast that gets you exam ready one topic at a time. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and frequently examined topics in AQA A-Level Biology populations. That's Specification Section 7.2. And trust me, once you understand the logic behind this topic, the exam questions almost write their own answers. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Section 1. Core Concepts. So what is a population? In biology, a population is a group of individuals of the same species living in the same habitat at the same time. Simple enough. But what makes this topic so rich is what happens to populations over time, how they grow, what limits them, and how they interact with other species and their environment. Let's start with population growth. When conditions are ideal, plenty of food, space, no predators, no disease, a population grows exponentially. You get that classic J-shaped curve. Every individual reproduces, offspring reproduce, and the numbers just keep accelerating upward. This is called biotic potential, the maximum rate a population can grow under ideal conditions. But here's the thing, ideal conditions never last. In reality, populations follow an S-shaped curve, also called a logistic growth curve. There are three phases to know. First, the lag phase. The population is small, growth is slow, individuals are establishing themselves. Second, the exponential phase. Resources are still relatively available, the population grows rapidly. Third, the plateau phase. Growth slows and the population levels off at what we call the carrying capacity. Carrying capacity, and this is a definition you absolutely must nail, is the maximum population size that an ecosystem can sustainably support given the available resources. In AQA mark schemes, you'll see credit given for mentioning that it's determined by the availability of resources such as food, water, and space. The population oscillates around this carrying capacity because of density-dependent factors. Now, what limits population growth? We divide limiting factors into two types. Abiotic factors are the non-living components of the environment: temperature, light intensity, water availability, pH, mineral ion concentration. Biotic factors are the living components: predation, disease, competition, and parasitism. Both types create what ecologists call environmental resistance, the sum of all factors that prevent a population from reaching its biotic potential. Competition is particularly important here, and AQA examiners love to test whether you can distinguish between two types. Intraspecific competition is competition between individuals of the same species for the same resources, food, mates, territory. As a population grows and resources become scarcer, intraspecific competition intensifies. This is a key density-dependent regulatory mechanism. As population size increases, competition increases, survival and reproduction decrease, and population growth slows. This is the negative feedback loop that keeps populations near carrying capacity. Interspecific competition is competition between individuals of different species. This links to the concept of the ecological niche, the role an organism plays in its ecosystem, including what it eats, where it lives, and how it interacts with other organisms. The competitive exclusion principle tells us that two species cannot occupy exactly the same niche indefinitely. One will outcompete the other. This is why species that appear to occupy the same habitat often have subtle niche differences. Now let's talk about predator-prey relationships. These produce beautiful cyclical oscillations in population size. Think of the classic Canadian lynx and snowshoe hare data. It's used in AQA questions regularly. As prey increases, predators have more food, so predator numbers increase. As predator numbers increase, prey is consumed faster than it reproduces, so prey numbers fall. As prey falls, predators starve and their numbers decline. With fewer predators, prey recovers, and the cycle repeats. The predator cycle lags slightly behind the prey cycle, and this time lag is something examiners specifically ask about. One of the most mathematically testable parts of this topic is the mark release recapture method, also called the Lincoln Index. This is used to estimate the size of an animal population in the wild, particularly for mobile species that can't be counted directly. Here's the method. First, capture a sample of animals. Count them. This is N1. Mark each individual in a way that doesn't affect their survival. For example, a paint spot on a snail shell or a leg ring on a bird. Release them back into the habitat. Allow sufficient time for the marked individuals to mix randomly with the rest of the population, but not so long that significant births, deaths, or migration occur. Then, capture a second sample. Count the total number caught. This is N2. Count how many of those are marked. This is M2. Now apply the Lincoln Index formula, N equals N1 multiplied by N2, all divided by M2, where N is your estimated population size. Let's do a quick example. Suppose you catch and mark 40 beetles, N1 equals 40. You release them, wait 48 hours, then catch a second sample of 35 beetles, N2 equals 35. Of those 35, you find 7 are marked, M2 equals 7. So N equals 40 times 35 divided by 7, that's 1400 divided by 7, which gives you an estimated population of 200 beetles. But here's what separates good candidates from excellent ones. You must be able to evaluate the assumptions. The Lincoln Index is only valid if the marking does not affect the animal's survival. For example, a bright paint mark might make an animal more visible to predators, the marks are not lost between captures, there is sufficient time for random mixing to occur, and there are no significant births, deaths, immigration, or emigration between the two captures. AQUAA frequently gives you a scenario and asks you to evaluate whether the method is valid. Always check these assumptions against the specific context. Section 3. Ecological succession. The final major concept in this topic is ecological succession, the process by which communities of organisms change over time, transforming the abiotic environment as they do so. Primary succession begins on bare, lifeless substrate. Think volcanic rock, sand dunes, or a newly exposed cliff face. There is no soil, and conditions are extremely hostile. The first organisms to colonize are called pioneer species. In the UK, these are typically lichens and mosses. Lichens are particularly important. They secrete acids that weather the rock, breaking it down into mineral particles. When they die and decompose, they add organic matter, forming the very first thin layer of humus. This is crucial. Pioneer species change the abiotic environment, making it less hostile and more suitable for other species. As the soil deepens, annual plants and grasses can establish, their roots further break up the substrate, and their decomposing matter enriches the soil with nutrients, particularly nitrates. This allows shrubs and eventually small trees to colonize. Each successive community changes the environment in ways that favor the next community, a process called facilitation. Eventually, the community reaches a climax community, a stable, self-sustaining community that remains relatively constant as long as the abiotic conditions remain unchanged. In the UK, the climax community for most lowland areas is oak woodland. Biodiversity is at its highest in the climax community, and the species composition remains stable over time. Secondary succession occurs where a community has been destroyed but the soil remains intact, for example, after a forest fire or on abandoned agricultural land. Because soil is already present, secondary succession is faster than primary succession. Now here's a key exam point for conservation questions. Many conservation areas actively manage succession to prevent the climax community from establishing. Why? Because some of the highest biodiversity for specific species, particularly rare plants, insects, and ground nesting birds, occurs in the intermediate stages of succession, not the climax community. Techniques include grazing by cattle or sheep, which prevents shrubs and trees from establishing, controlled burning, which removes accumulated vegetation and resets succession, and mowing, which maintains grassland habitats. AQUAA suggests questions on conservation almost always reward answers that reference the management of succession. Section 4. Exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. First, command words. If the question says state or give, keep it brief, one or two words or a short phrase. No need for explanation. If it says describe, tell the examiner what happens, use correct terminology, describe the trend or process. If it says explain, you must give a reason. Use the word because to link cause and effect. If it says calculate, always show you're working, use the correct formula, and include units where appropriate. If it says evaluate, you need to consider both strengths and limitations, use evidence from the data, and make a judgment. For extended response questions on succession, typically 5 or 6 marks, structure your answer chronologically. Start with pioneer species, describe how they change the abiotic environment, explain how this allows new species to colonize, describe the increase in biodiversity, and finish with the climax community. Examiners are looking for a logical chain of cause and effect. Now, the most common mistakes I see. Number 1, confusing intraspecific and interspecific competition. Intraspecific is within the same species. Interspecific is between different species. A useful memory trick. intraspecific, think intra, as in within, like intranet, which is a network within an organization. Interspecific, think inter as in between, like international, which means between nations. Number two, in mark release recapture questions, candidates often say that marking affects survival without explaining how. The mark scheme requires a mechanism. Don't just say the mark affects survival. Say the bright mark makes the animal more conspicuous to predators, increasing predation risk. Number three, describing sampling as throwing quadrats. This is a classic error. Quadrats should be placed using random coordinates generated by a random number generator or by using a random number table. Throwing introduces bias. Number four, in succession questions, candidates often describe pioneer species as simply colonizing the area without explaining the critical mechanism that they change the abiotic conditions, making the environment less hostile for subsequent species. Section 5. Quick fire recall quiz. Time for a quick fire quiz? I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the formula for the Lincoln Index? N equals N1 times N2 divided by M2. Question 2. What term describes the maximum population size an ecosystem can support? Carrying capacity. Question 3. Name two pioneer species typical of primary succession in the UK. Lichens and mosses. Question 4. What type of competition occurs between individuals of the same species? Intraspecific competition. Question 5. In a predator-prey graph, which population cycle lags behind the other? The predator cycle lags behind the prey cycle. Question 6. What is a climax community? A stable community that remains relatively constant when abiotic conditions are unchanged. Question 7. Name one technique used to manage succession in conservation areas. Grazing, controlled burning, or mowing. Any one of those is correct. Section 6. Summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Populations Topic 7.2 covers three interconnected themes. First, population size and growth. Understand the S-curve, carrying capacity, biotic potential, and the role of density-dependent factors, including intraspecific competition. Second, the mark release recapture method. Know the Lincoln Index formula, the method steps, and critically, the assumptions and their limitations. Third, ecological succession. Know the stages from pioneer species to climax community. Understand the mechanism of facilitation and be able to apply this to conservation management. The assessment objective breakdown for this topic is roughly 35% AO1, that's knowledge and understanding, 45% AO2, that's application to novel contexts, and 20% AO3, that's analysis and evaluation of data. So the majority of marks reward you for applying your knowledge to unfamiliar scenarios, not just reciting definitions. Practice with past papers, look at the mark schemes, and always ask yourself, am I explaining the mechanism or just describing the outcome? You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing, and remember, every mark scheme point is a mark waiting to be earned. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode of A-Level Biology Unlocked.